Hello, my name is Robin Sheridan, Spirit Whisperer, the title given to me by my soul guides. When we choose to awaken to our soul path, we become aware of how deeply connected we are to universal consciousness on a spiritual, physical, and emotional level. Join me on my podcast journey and learn how to connect to your heart, mind, body, and soul, creating connection in all areas of your life.
Hi, Robin.
Carla, thank you so much for joining me today. This is Robin Sheridan, Spirit Whisperer. And I am starting a new episode with wonderful guests for a coffee chat. Now, Carla Carrera is currently completing a Master's of Science in Sexology and a PhD in psychology. She is honing her leadership skills as an assistant for the Somatic Experiencing Trauma Institute practitioners course in Belgium, where she is evolving her movement theater therapy group classes, growing as a public speaker, and writing a semi-autobiographical novel about integrational trauma, grit, and resilience. So, Carla, tell us a little bit more about yourself and your practice.
It would be a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I am a somatic experiencing practitioner. I work with rewiring and reorganizing stress and trauma responses in the body. And I'm also a sex and intimacy coach. I'm fascinated about communication processes and the healing, the internal healing journey that helps people to connect to themselves better and thereby connect to others in a deeper way.
Wow, that is really amazing. So how did you get involved with this field?
I came about it through my own personal experiences, actually. I was taking a few different classes and self-help groups at this women's center, and somatic experiencing was offered in a group format. And I found it to be so potent, and it became kind of a mission in life to see how deeply and how profoundly it changed me. It became a mission to help others and to, you know, train in these skills that could help people to stay present to uncomfortable feelings in their body and then move through it and investigate what a completion response would be like for each particular trigger. So it started from a personal level and then branched outward into wanting to make a greater impact and feeling this as my life purpose.
Wow. I know we usually all come from personal experiences. You and I talked a little bit about narcissism and how that comes into certain relationships. Could you explain what narcissism is, narcissistic abuse is?
Yeah, so narcissism is it's a cluster V personality disorder that is characterized by a set of behaviors, a grandiose sense of self-importance, dreams of unlimited power, success, brilliance, ideal love. One of the marked characteristics is a lack of empathy, that their needs come first in relationships. Another aspect is requiring admiration, believing that they're special and unique and that should only associate with other people of their high status. They unreasonably expect special or favorable treatment, and exploits and takes advantage of others for personal ends. So this could be a highly manipulative person. They also envy others and believe others are constantly envious of them and have an attitude of arrogance overall. So the way people become that way is that often the way love is expressed in the family unit is something that is conditional, where it's something they have to be earned. And so in that way, you know, they recognize that perfect is the only way that they're loved and accepted in the family structure. So they often have a domineering parent who devalues them, or who is emotionally or mentally abusive, or consistently puts down the child. And everything about narcissism is based on a shame-based way of feeling and processing. So it often leads to depression and or sense of defeat very easily in a person struggling with this. As a result, there are many ways that it can manifest in adulthood, one of which is pursuing achievement as a way, as an extension of that perfectionism, to kind of show people wrong, you know, to show unsupportive parents, hey, you were wrong about me. It can be very difficult to be with a narcissist as a result of their inability to really incorporate the needs of other people around them. I liken it to a very young developmental state where there was a developmental trauma, and they were not able to leave that stage of child development where they could be pro-social and co-creating with peers. There was something that got left behind in that development. And so this can make it terribly abusive for people around them. As narcissists, they don't really love themselves. And so it's very hard to love other people truly. And there are many elements of techniques that can be used that can be quite harmful. One such thing is how they project their insecurities onto others many times, you know, so they feel unlovable. So then they're constantly potentially very jealous or possessive because they fear that the people around them will leave. It's part of that narcissistic injury. And you know, the set of behaviors is usually coming from this narcissistic injury place. And, you know, it can be very hard to fill that because, you know, especially in romantic relationships, you can begin, everything is kind of this idealized state where there might be something called love bombing, which is when, you know, the narcissist might employ a number of tricks to get to, you know, to get people to like them by mirroring a lot of common interests and making it where this happy phase where it really seems to be the perfect situation, the perfect love, and they're fully available. And it's kind of a hook that can, it's basically used as a hook to get people in. But then often what happens is that once they realize that the people they're with are, you know, imperfect, as we all are, then there's a process of devaluing. And so that is a hard, hard thing for people to go through, to have gone through this love high of the love bomb. And then this process of devaluation. And finally, they often tend to leave and search for other narcissistic supply. So one of the issues with narcissism is that they look outward for their identity mirroring. They don't have a core stable center inside. And so when a person is no longer feeding their ego and starts to see the narcissist for who they are, then it's almost like, you know, they lose interest, like a child that got tired of playing with a toy. You know, they search for another toy that suits their interest in that moment. And it can be very harmful because there are many things that can be used to control and manipulate the situation. One of which is gaslighting, which is a way of it's a type of emotional abuse that denies another person their reality It's actually coming from a movie, I think in the 1930s, where a woman was suffering some kind of abuse, and the male protagonist in the movie was just denying her reality this whole time. That's where the name comes from. And, you know, even during the love bombing phase, techniques can be used, whether they know it or not, you know. So there's something called future faking, which is, you know, calling toward the future, like, look at the beautiful kids we're going to have. We're going to have this beautiful life. And it kind of, it's a distraction tool, to distract from the fact that they don't have, you know, the infrastructure, the tools necessary to get to that future, you know?
Yes, I totally understand what you're saying here, because I too have been involved in narcissistic relationships. And it is such a powerful tool they use, because they learn everything about you and they learn nothing. You are not allowed to learn anything about them, because they give you 100% of their attention until they get what they want. And then they start pulling back, and you are so addicted to that love bomb, as you called it, that you have no idea that you're completely trapped in this relationship. So how does a person recognize that they're trapped in a narcissistic relationship?
Yeah, oftentimes we have to look at ourselves, like really deeply look at ourselves, and because these kinds of relationships, and I admit myself that I have been prey to this kind of dynamic, it often comes from, you know, having wounding of our own. And so it having these vacuums of developmental unrest and unease can allow for people with sensitive histories of past abuse or other difficult situations, where, you know, their identity is to look outward also, but in the opposite sense, in the sense that they want to fill that hole of what someone else is offering, you know, that there's more of that codependency. And so I would say, recognizing within ourselves, like, what are some, if there are some codependent elements inside, where did they begin? What was missing? What was that, or that pain of origin? What was that core need that wasn't met? How can we begin to do so now as adults? And what steps can we take toward that? So that's where I would begin personally, with each within, from within outward. Now, if you already have a family with a person who shows narcissistic abuse, that can be, make it really hard to leave the situation. A few ways that we can recognize if you are a victim of narcissistic abuse is a sense of emotional disconnection and dissociation, using it as a survival mechanism. Feeling this need to walk on eggshells around a person, like you cannot tell your full truth, you need to hide who you are. Putting aside your basic needs and desires to keep the peace. Sacrificing your emotional, mental, energetic, or physical safety. Ensuing health or somatic issues as a result of psychological chaos or turmoil that may not be your own. A pervasive sense of mistrust and desire to self-isolate. So separating from social groups and not sharing as much with the social groups you do have or with friends and family. Self-sabotaging and self-destructing behaviors. Immense fear in doing what you love and succeeding. This I feel like is an important one, because, you know, part of what makes the trauma bond experience with the narcissistic person so strong is that they're commanding and driving the relationship. And so part of doing that in the devaluing phase is putting you down potentially. And that can have a really harmful effect to other people's self-esteem around them. And so, you know, maybe before there was, you know, a normal level of fear of doing what you love and doing well in it. And now there's this immense fear that wasn't there before. And the last one is a compulsive need to protect your abuser, you know, to justify and to excuse their behavior. Oh, it was their childhood. Oh, they had a, you know, an unavailable parent. So if you find yourself kind of doing any of these things, it can be a sign of being participant in narcissistic abuse, and that it's important to recognize that there is this trauma bond happening, and to slowly begin to pull oneself out.
Oh yeah, I didn't realize until just recently how badly it had affected me, because you're absolutely right. In the beginning, the partner was very supportive of my career and where I wanted to go, and seemed to be my cheerleading. And then all of a sudden, his needs became more than mine. He'd call me 20 times a day, or call me at work, or cause so much disruption while I was at work. I've even been let go at a job because of a narcissistic relationship and the person constantly calling me at work. But I've been doing a lot of inner work, and just recently discovered that I have, when I think about being successful and being financially, rich or prosperous, I become completely sad. And it finally dawned on me that every time I became very successful in my job and was bringing home a huge income, my narcissistic spouse would sabotage it. So have you ever worked with a person who's had this, and is there a success story you could tell us about?
Yeah. So I would say that having a wide range of support in such a situation, because it's almost like you need multiple different perspectives and ways of support, you know, in order to counteract this psychic power in the dynamic of this trauma bond with a narcissist. And so I would suggest beginning with a lot of support, recognizing what you need for specific steps in the healing journey. With a client, I've suggested going the Grey Rock method, which can be, again, very difficult when you have your life embedded with someone else's, be it finance or a home living situation or otherwise. But the Grey Rock method, I feel, is even doing so in small steps, right? Practicing certain things that were so to go back a little bit, the Grey Rock method is it's a methodology basically of removing the stimuli for the narcissist, and practicing basically being as cold as a rock. You know, they try to pick at you, and you are non-reactive and non-responsive. So that can begin by not responding to the things they say with angst or with emotion, and just saying, oh, okay, you know, not giving them what they're looking for, which is that ego boost or that control over the situation, removing yourself, you know, as much as possible. So could that mean, you know, arranging your life so that there are as few interactions as possible? If there is something shared, like a shared home or children, it's incredibly difficult to leave. But, you know, you can create your life so that you're not around when they are, or so that when they speak, you're not feeding into it. You can, you know, organize life in such a way that you can leave in a more permanent way. It is very difficult, because, you know, we as humans, we need to feel validated and seen and appreciated and heard. And so to adopt this method of Grey Rock, it feels counterproductive to ourselves. You know, it's like we're sacrificing our own need for emotional, for an emotional witnessing, so to speak. And so that's why I think it's so important to re-strengthen the social bonds around a person, and then start going Grey Rock in different ways, you know, through the things they say, through the different ways you have to interact with this person, until you can actually leave. Most narcissists narcissism is one of the hardest things to actually treat, because it requires a certain kind of ego death, you know, for the narcissist to drop the image of who they think they are, to accept that they're imperfect. It's like going through death, you know. It's not something easy for them to recognize they have. And once they do, because of that lack of empathy, it can be very hard to have them understand the kind of consequence that their behavior has had on your life. And so while reforming a narcissist is possible, it is a much healthier stance to begin working on one's own codependency traits and kind of facing what is it about this dynamic that is so appealing to me. What is this feeding inside of me? What am I afraid to feel or look into about myself, that by distracting myself with this non-fulfilling relationship, I no longer need to look at? You know, so like having that courage within to take a step within and looking at how we're fed by this empty relationship, and then strengthening from the inside out, and then leaving.
Yeah, I hear that. It's really important. It took me quite a while to realize that the reason why I attracted narcissistic partners is because I did not love myself. In fact, I didn't know how to love myself because I grew up in a home where there was no encouragement, no praise. There was no hugging, no positive feedback at all. And so I grew up feeling, didn't even know what love was. I didn't understand what it was. So that when I ran into someone who, you know, gave me this love bomb, I completely fell for it. And it took me a long time to realize that I needed to learn how to love myself. And that has been a long process. And I am getting there. I've gotten to the point where I really like who I am. I love my life. I have learned to embrace being single. And it took a while, but I love being my own person and being able to come and go and do what I want and not have to answer to anybody. So yeah, I think it's important to find people, counselors, and programs that can help you discover who you are at soul level and within yourself, and really discover your wonderful gifts and talents that you have. And did you go through a similar process? Did you?
Indeed I did. And I took a wide gamut of different courses related to self-development and self-awareness. Lots of different tools in psychology. There are lots of amazing workbooks for this deepening of self-awareness. I myself am putting together a webinar series going into these different techniques that are available. So feel free to go to my website and leave your email so that I can send a newsletter with updates on that. So it's CarlaCarrera.com. And I think in my own journey, for sure, there was this process of really reevaluating the standards by which I live my life. And you're right, it's not this soul journey, it's not an instantaneous result. And you know, it can be heartbreaking when a person is empathetic, maybe too empathetic, and they're with someone who is not. And that person might be coming back and hoovering, you know, like trying to come back into the dynamic when they lose some narcissistic supply, when they think that they can get you back, you know. So like I instruct clients to really be thoughtful about what standards they judge people by when they think about what is that safe tribe for them of who is really supportive and loving in their environment. And so, you know, does the narcissist show a willingness to self-reflect? Is there acknowledgement and taking into account the emotions that you had might have expressed and taking responsibility for that accountability, you know, putting in measures so that the inequality that stood will not stand again? And then do they show a genuine interest in changing and understanding their behavior? So I think it is possible to work with people who are of this mindset, who are suffering from this these qualities, you know, because it's a spectrum. It's not always a personality disorder. Some people can have a few different traits, but not be a full-blown personality disorder. So in all the situations, I would say to go back to the origin of what is my role in this and what do I need to keep myself safe and well and clear-minded to make good decisions for myself that is integrative of all of who I am. And once we begin to get in the habit of doing that, it becomes easier to recognize if they're coming back with empty words, you know? So yeah, I would urge people to, you know, not take responsibility for the emotions of other people. We cannot control what people are going to do with who they are. Don't give them the negative attention that they're looking for of responding to them. Don't give ultimatums. There is kind of an emotional immaturity about people who have narcissistic traits. So it's very likely that you might have a narcissistic rage as a result, or, you know, childish retaliatory behaviors. So yeah, I would really recommend the inside out approach, and I concur with you. You know, it's a journey of multiple years, but it's well worthwhile.
Well, thank you so much, Carla. I really appreciate you being my first guest, and I'm really excited about your course you're offering, and that's www.carla, that's C-A-R-L-A, carreira.com. So if you're interested in what Carla teaches, look her up. And thank you so much for your insight today, Carla. I really appreciate you
being
here.
Thank you so much for your sharing and for this platform very much.
All right. You have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.